The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
KMED.
Hey, thanks to Jan Dunlap, who emailed me the link. I was talking with Rick a little bit earlier this morning about the... I had just heard the story. Maybe I was listening to Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins and was just... hearing the thing about Tim Walz and shooting paintballs, and I was so busy on something else, I just missed it. And she sent me the link to the New York Post article, and shocking video shows cops enforcing Tim Walz's coronavirus, the COVID-19 curfew, by shooting paintballs at residents as they stood in their doorways, and dozens of riot cops enforcing Governor Tim Walz's curfew order spreading out in a Minneapolis neighborhood and peppering residents with paintballs while they stood on their porches and in their front doorways. Now, it's not tyrannical or anything like that, and it's certainly not like the vice presidential candidate would do this as a vice president or candidate or a president, too. You know, he'd never do anything like this. That was then. I mean, he's following the science to shoot people with paintballs. And the newly resurfaced clip was filmed in 2020 by Tanya Kearson just outside her home. Resembles a scene from a dystopian movie. It shows a tan Humvee rolling slowly down the quiet street in the Whittier neighborhood, followed by at least 25 heavily armored cops. And they talk about lighting them up. You know, light these people up, people who are, had the temerity of standing on their front door, on their front doorstep. So, tyrants going to tyranny, right? That kind of thing. Of course, they're denying it now. It didn't happen. Fortunately, though, the video evidence does exist. All right, 6 minutes after eight. Big weekend coming up here when it comes to Senate Bill 762. That is the fire map debacle, and we're into the final couple of days of public comment. Richard Emmons will join me here in a few minutes from the Oregon Eagle, OregonEagle.com. And he's been helping and putting out a lot of information at OregonEagle.com to help people with these comments. And we'll have a little conversation on that, maybe what's coming up in the August edition, too, of the Oregon Eagle, too. We'll also have a Diner 62 quiz sometime before I take off for the weekend and to enjoy the thunderstorms along with you. Diner 62 quiz, probably between 8:30 and 9, okay? And good luck at winning that.
News this hour from town.
Quarter after 8, Richard Emmons joins me, and he's the publisher, chief cook and bottle washer, and editor of the Oregon Eagle, OregonEagle.com. How you doing this morning, Richard? Welcome back to the show.
I'm doing. Hey, thanks, Bill. Good to be back.
All right, great to have you back here, too. And by the way, before we get into our topic, I just wanted to touch on something. I wanted to make sure to remind people. Yesterday, we were talking a lot about the, and I think you may have heard that show, or may have heard some of this, about how we had a couple of foreign nationals in Southern Oregon that were cut loose after they were found with 2 5-gallon buckets filled with fentanyl pills, right? And there was a lot of question, Richard, on whether or not, why were they cut loose to go back to Mexico to return September 11th. They're supposed to come back for a hearing. these felony charges, all this kind of stuff. And I just want to make sure that people this hour, since I talked about it last, yesterday about the same time, that this had to do with Measure 48 or Senate Bill 48, which was passed a couple of years ago. And apparently it is really hard to keep people in jail prior to trial. And it all had to do with this push on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Yeah, things which you talk about quite often in the Oregon Eagle. It's just kind of the world we find ourselves in right now, in which I guess it's just racist to keep criminals in jail, prior to trial. Kind of a strange world we find ourselves in, Richard. But I want to take this now to a different Senate bill. Instead of Senate Bill 48, it's Senate Bill 762, which is the wildfire mapping issue, which has a lot of people hot and bothered in Josephine and Jackson County, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, and for good reason. It's another bad bill that they passed, and then they supposedly fixed it with Senate Bill 80, but it's really the same thing. They put a little lipstick on the pig, and it's still bad for Oregonians, and it's bad for property owners out in the rural areas, and it also affects people in the cities, too, because it's going to affect just the overall economic value of property and livability here in Oregon.
Unfortunately, my conspiratorial lizard brain can't help but think that this may be the actual intended outcome. They don't want people living unless you're really wealthy and you can afford to harden your property to the point where the federal government can burn all the land around you. I honestly think that's where they're trying to take this. Make you responsible for the federal government burning forests.
Well, if the goal was to make it better and safer and easier and less costly for people to own their 5 acres out in the county, this bill and this map does not help them achieve that goal.
Nope. You know,
that is not a goal of this whole program. And in fact, I have a link to the Oregon statewide wildfire hazard map on the article on the OregonEagle.com website that it just says right on there. I'll just read right from the website. The ultimate goal of the map is to help people across Oregon better prepare for future wildfires. So when you read that and you hear that, so the goal is to help people better prepare for future wildfires. It's not a goal to help prevent future wildfires.
And that's the takeaway. In other words, you are to be responsible for wildfires that will be imposed upon your property. That's how I read this, Richard. What about you?
You know, it absolutely is. And yesterday I was speaking with Ron Smith, who's running for county commissioner in Josephine County, and he just said point blank, the map will not reduce wildfires. And that's the thing. And the biggest, you know, the 800-pound soft squatch in the room is that it doesn't apply to the federal government.
And that's where most of the fires are coming from, the catastrophic wildfires, when it comes right down to it. Fair enough?
Absolutely. It's fair enough. I mean, it's as if you had a neighbor who had, like, cans of gasoline on the other side of your fence, and you're going to do some fireworks at the 4th of July or something. I mean, you'd be telling your neighbor, like, get those pans of gasoline out of the way. You know, it's like, those are so hazardous.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't do anything to prevent the forest fires on federal land, and that's the root of the problem. It doesn't do anything about logging or putting in roads that would make it easier to fight fires within the federal lands or to create fire breaks. It doesn't do any of that. It doesn't do any of that.
So everything is about rural landowners hardening their property. Not necessarily. Well, it's almost like you say, okay, let's say that your rural property were to butt up against BLM or U.S. Forest Service land, right? We know that there is the let it burn plan on a lot of this land, which is if there's a lightning strike out in the middle of the forest someplace, well, we have a burn plan on this because, well, we don't log it any longer. So if it's going to catch on fire, we're going to let it burn. Now, Jackson County, of course, fought this, has been fighting this with a coordinated plan, and we've had much better luck than other places. But essentially, the Let It Burn plan, Senate Bill 760, instead of stopping the federal government or engaging the federal government to stop letting their forests burn so much, the idea is that you have to encase your property because the forest is going to burn around you. And it's like the transfer of liability for fire. Isn't that it, ultimately?
That is, and the cost of paying for putting out the wildfires used to be capped at $25 per property.
Right.
And 762 took away that cap. So theoretically, you know, if they have to spend $10 million and they divide it amongst the properties, you might get a bill for $347 as your share of putting out the wildfires. Now,
but a wildfire that you did not start, and that's the important thing to remember.
That's right, and I doubt they'd send a bill to Uncle Sam. And the thing about it is, like, why are we paying our Oregon income tax, and businesses pay Oregon business taxes? We're paying that for government services. One of those services is the Oregon Department of Forestry to help put out wildfires. So we're already paying for this through our income tax.
I think the reason why they wanted to send a bill 762, I'm talking about the people in charge of the state, is that they want to be able to do more social welfare programs, and the cost of fighting wildfires It's expensive. And so how do we hand out more social welfare programs as long as we're having to pay for wildfire? So you have Senate Bill 762. Well, we're going to transfer it to the people who aren't getting social welfare right now, the ones that are costing right now for wildfire fighting, and then we get to, you know, spend money on stuff that's more fun. I think that's what's going on here, Richard, and people need to understand that.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, it's like somebody that doesn't mow their lawn. You know, eventually it's 3 feet tall. And what we've seen over the, you know, past decades is that they're not logging. And the trees keep growing. You know, trees absorb carbon dioxide, and they grow, and they get, you know, forest grows 7 or 8% per year. And if you don't log, it just gets bigger and bigger, and eventually there's going to be a wildfire. It's just common sense. That's what's going to happen. But, you know, but where we are today is that, you know, we're nearing the end of the public comment time.
In fact, Sunday is going to be the final day, Sunday at 5 o'clock this weekend.
That's right. And it's really, really important for all of us to know that there's sort of like the battle we fight today, and there's battles that we'll fight in the future. And the future battles will be to get the federal government to take responsibility for its federal lands, or they should transfer it to the counties, sell it to the private, do something, but they should do what's right. But what we need to focus on in the next few days is writing letters in opposition to the map.
And by the way, you can email them to hazardmap@odf.oregon.gov. That's the website to submit your public comment, and Sunday at 5 o'clock is the last day. You've had many readers of the Oregon Eagle who have been sharing their comments with you, which has been quite interesting, and some of the people have had some pretty good thoughts. What do you think are most effective ways of attacking this?
Well, first of all, you send your letter of opposition, and the very first line to say, I'm writing to express my opposition to the wildfire hazard map. So you make that really plain right out of the chute. And then after that, you can almost say whatever you want, but your letter will go into the opposition pile. You want to avoid writing letters that express problems with how they manage the forest and other things that are vague. But once you get that opening sentence out, there's really two directions you can go. One is more general, talking about federal lands and wildfires and how, you know, they need to do more at the federal level because that's the source of the problem. But or you can go specific and talk about your own property and what you do to protect it, and maybe you're next door to BLM land, and just talk about that.
I can see where the fight's going to come is not really, you know, really what Senate Bill 762 does is go to war against rural property owners. That's how I see it. Is that sort of the way you do, Richard?
No, it is. No, it absolutely is, because it's raising the cost of building a home and insuring a home in the county areas, in these rural areas. And it you know, if you raise the cost of anything, I mean, if they, you know, tripled the gas tax, I mean, that would make it harder to drive a car. You know, if they triple, you know, your insurance, well, that makes it harder to insure whatever it is. Where your
or if it makes it impossible to get it because of this. And so, really, if Senator Golden and Pam Marsh, these were the people that were sponsoring this bill and carrying this bill, respectively, you know, on this, if you really want to battle the wildfire challenge on these rural lands, when the fire's coming from federal lands for the most part, the conversation doesn't need to be between the state of Oregon and rural landowners. The conversation needs to be between the state legislature and the governor and the federal government. I know it's a big deal, but it's huge. But that's where the conversation needs to be held. And I don't know, is there just not a political will to do that?
Well, yesterday, interestingly, President Trump did a press conference at Bedminster, you know, in New Jersey, and in part of his prepared remarks, because you could tell he was kind of looking down and reading off some bullet points about affordability, which is just, you know, he mentioned specifically about housing on federal lands to improve, you know, housing affordability. And that was massive. I mean, when I heard that, I was just really happy, because somebody has put that in front of him. And I really believe back in 2016, 8 years ago, you know, Republicans and people that are pro-housing, affordability and availability were just caught flat-footed. They were not prepared for Trump to win, so that we lost that opportunity of trying to push back on how the federal lands are managed or mismanaged or not managed. And my hope would be we will be prepared this time, because when you look at the wildfire hazard map, to me, the biggest thing that's missing on the map is that you can't tell what land is federally owned and what's private property. That's a major flaw in the map, because that would then tell the story in a completely different way than if you look at the map as it is now.
Hmm. Yeah, where it's coming from. Given that Oregon is, last time I checked, I think Oregon is only developed, about 18% of the land is developed, and the rest of it is either under state or federal government control. Isn't that the case? Is that the stat you probably know too?
Yeah, it kind of depends on how you look at it. If you look at what Senate Bill 100 did, 98% of Oregon is either farmland or timberland. Only 2% is developed, and only 0.6% of all the land in Oregon is zoned residential.
A tiny slice. And we sit around here staring at our navels, wondering why housing is so expensive in a state that refuses to have land available for housing, really, at least in large amounts. And Senate Bill 762 is not going to make that any better. All right. Letters of opposition. Email it this weekend, please. hazardmap@odf.oregon.gov. Got to get the comments in. That's the important part.
It's really important. I mean, there's other battles. We can fight them later, but the key is to get the letters in. I reached out to the Department of Forestry to find out if they were posting the comments on a public database. They're not. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be available until September. However, I did ask, you know, how many comments did they receive? So as of 24 hours ago, they had received over 1,000 comments. So that's good. But we need many thousands to really be heard. And because, you know, it's like if they feel the heat, they might see the light. And these letters, which are really emails, they don't have to be super articulate. You don't have to be a forest expert. You just have to explain, you know, your property and what's happening to you and what the impact might be. I mean, it's definitely having an impact on people that have lived in the area for a long time, retired people. And but you just need to express your opposition. And it doesn't have to be, like I say, it could be enough to fit on a postcard. It doesn't have to be 2 pages long. Right now, on the Oregon.com website, I do have an article posted. It's the first article you see about a husband and a wife that wrote two separate letters. You know, again, you can write, husbands and wives can each write a letter, and it counts as two opposition comments. But, you know, the husband was very knowledgeable in forest practice. You know, he used to be in the forest department. And so his is more of the scientific side, but he also talks about how they're not managing the forest like they used to. And then the wife wrote about how it's impacting them as a retired couple and how few fires have actually been in their area. So they're very, you just have to write about the unfairness of the map. You have to write about how it could impact your ability or your sons and daughters' ability or grandchildren's ability to buy a home. And, you know, even historically, the fact that the Oregon Trail, the people that first came to Oregon, only the courageous even started the journey on the Oregon Trail, and only the hardy survived getting here. And to think when they got here, they couldn't find 5 acres or 40 acres and build a log cabin in the middle of the woods and start their life. I mean, this is sort of a reflection of who we've become as Oregonians, that people, we live with risk all the time. Just getting out of your bed in the morning, you might have a heart attack. Who knows? You drive your car down the street. There's always risk. So, yes, there's wildfire risk, but it shouldn't be inflamed to hurt the people that want to live, you know, near the woods or in the woods. And what we should be focusing on is making the forest more enjoyable for people as well as for the critters, and that both of those happen by making them less friendly to wildfires and lightning strikes.
Very good. Richard Emmons, once again, OregonEagle.com is where you can read this conversation about what is going on with Senate Bill 762. This is the final weekend for comment, for public comment. Hazardmap at odf.oregon.gov is once again that email website here to send your comments in. And Sunday at 5 o'clock is the deadline on that. Let me go to the phones here. And you have a question for Richard. You're on with Richard Emmons from the Oregon Eagle. Good morning.
Hello, this is Jake.
Hello, Jake.
I wanted to say that I found the Japanese Yamaha is making jet skis out of something called carbon nanofiber. Made out of wood, they're showing forest under Mount Fuji.
What does this have to do with our conversation on the wildfire, Jake?
This is that I'm going to go to ODF and I'm going to do what you said, but that's another way that we can manage that all this brush.
How's that?
That brush that become nanofiber. It's another business. Stronger than steel.
Okay, you're implying that you take the brush out of the forest and you turn it into the nanofiber? Really?
Yes, carbon nanofiber. There.
Well, no, carbon nanofiber is not made from plant life, I don't think, is it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I haven't heard that one, Jake.
I gotta get internet so I can send you the video.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, if we could take scrap from the forest and turn it into nanofiber, that'd be pretty cool, Richard. I've not heard of that one, at least not yet. Wow.
Yeah, no, that would be a good one. I mean, you know, we can try lots of different things, but I think it starts with putting roads through the forest because, you know, you could pay for the roads by logging the trees and make it 100 feet wide, and you would then have a fire break. You'd have a road that goes through the forest. And it wouldn't cost the taxpayers a dime.
All right. What else are you working on for the August edition of the Oregon Eagle?
Yeah, just working on lots of news. I mean, everything from Trump and Harris, you know, at the national level. We've got, you know, congressional races happening. We've got local things, you know, the recall in Josephine County. You know, there's a lot of news. And there's other stories that we need to take a little more thoughtful approach, you know, dig a little deeper on some of the stuff that's happening, you know, in our country and in our state. I mean, there's, it's so easy to get caught up in the 24-hour news cycle that we need to kind of sit back sometimes and think of the bigger picture. So we're working on all of that. Anybody that wants to subscribe, you know, you can still subscribe and get this copy when it arrives a week from now. So,
yeah. Speaking of the recall, what is really driving that? What is really driving this? Because I can't help but feel like we're being told one thing, but the real goal is something different. You know?
Well, I have some opinions on it. One of this that I've been rolling around in my head is that there's an urban-rural divide in the state of Oregon. In Josephine County, you have county commissioners that began in politics on the Grants Pass City Council, and then they become county commissioners. That's like Commissioner Dandy Young or Lily Morgan.
And they get nicknamed and then they get nicknamed city commissioners when they go on the county. that's the nickname that the rural folks say, right?
Yeah, I've heard that before. But they just have a different view. And the idea that the county commissioners from the county, they don't look at the county providing all these services like you might get in the city of Grants Pass. And I think it's, you know, the focus is on the sheriff's department and making sure that it's well funded. And some things, you know, they get. So I think that's part of the. I think that's part of the reason. I think that.
Yeah, it's the worldview between the Grants Pass politicians getting on the county commission and the county politicians getting on the county commission. Different worldview, and they want more Grants Pass city councilors as county commissioners. Would that be fair?
I mean, it's certainly hypothetically true.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I mean, let me put it this way. I've lived here 26 years in Josephine County, and there are times where the county is flush with money and the city is hurting. And that was, you know, in the 70s and 80s when all the logging was happening. And then there are other times in which the city is flush with money and they can do all these grand things. And right now the county is hurting. I mean, you hear you've got expenses going up by 10% a year, and the property tax revenue goes up by
3%.
Yeah, so you've got to have commissioners that are willing to make hard decisions. And anytime you cut spending in any department, that's going to get those people hot and bothered. But you just can't do everything.
Yeah.
When you can't borrow money to pay your bills, you've got to live within your means. And I think that's part of it. And I just think part of it, thinking bigger, is just this repeal process is just getting out of hand, and that things are better left to elections where the people have already spoken. They elected John West. Brookings, they had a city manager who was caught shoplifting at Fred Meyer's, and two city councilors would not fire the person. They got recalled. I mean, that's something that you can't have a thief as your city manager, and that was worthy. But I think these are just political differences.
And I have to tell you, I wasn't really in favor of the recall that they had on Sarah Bristol, even though I disagree with much of Sarah Bristol's actions as mayor. You know, in other words, if you're going to be recalling people, there better be some really, really big stuff, you know, to do that. You see where I'm coming from on that?
I see exactly where you're coming from. And this is, so I've been really just reevaluating all my thinking on these recalls. And I just think that it's like the impeachments of President Trump. You know, they're just unfounded. They're political, and we're having an election.
Yeah.
That's why we have elections, and that's what the focus should be on. Because if we want to get quality men and women to run for county commissioner, they should know that they can be elected, and they may shake up the status quo in certain areas, but that they're going to have 4 years to try to make a difference. And at the end of those 4 years, if they choose to run for reelection, the voters will have a chance to either vote them in or vote them out.
I think
have elections.
Yeah, I'm thinking that ultimately what I suspect this recall is really all about is also a bit of hissy fit that the charter changes that were pushed by more progressive elements of Josephine County politics did not get passed by the voters. And this is another way to lash out. Just my opinion.
Well, I agree. And if you really look at it, think about it. All the people that are behind the recall are putting all their time and energy into collecting signatures. And they may or may not get the, 7,000 signatures they need.
Mm-hmm.
But they could be putting that same time and energy into fighting this wildfire map that will affect Josephine County people for generations.
Agreed. It's energy going in the wrong direction. Richard, I always appreciate the talk. And thank you for having joined me this morning from Oregon Eagle. OregonEagle.com. You can subscribe there, find out more about the paper. Good job, okay? Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Have a great weekend.
And you too. It's 20 before 9. Ran a little bit long here, but that's all right. Sometimes you just got to cover some stuff that needs covered. 20 before 9, 770-5633. It's on your mind. This is the Bill Myers Show.
When you choose a contractor, how do you know you're getting the best? Anyone can claim to be the area's top, but numbers don't lie. When you hire Clouser Drilling, you're getting a company that has 1 million feet, 4,600 wells, 53 years, and 4 generations drilling here in Josephine and Jackson County. Clouser Drilling has 6 licensed drillers and 4 modern drill rigs, giving customers confidence in one great product. The number's 541-476-7795. The name's Clouser. Contact Clouser Drilling today.
American Industrial Door has security and storm shutters and mesh for commercial and residential applications. These shutters protect storefronts, windows, retail counters, product cases, whatever needs instant protection against burglary, vandalism, and severe weather. With a touch of a button, you can secure an entry point or space with style and color. American Industrial Door has affordable scissor gates too. See all the security shutter options at American Industrial Door on Union Avenue in Grants Pass and on Crater Lake Avenue north of Vilas Road.
American Rancher Garage, United in Service. American Rancher Garage services most vehicles and offers state-of-the-art amenities, affordable pricing, and prompt service you can trust. If you're looking for a reliable, full-service automotive repair shop that provides old-fashioned service to keep you and your busy life moving, you've found it right here, just across the street from Elmer's on Biddle. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRancher.com. 541-499-6673. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
You know what annoys me? Name-dropping. Here at Garrison Sleep, we could name drop our big rock star brands, but why? So we can dazzle you with names like Beautyrest, Sealy, and Stearns & Foster? Sure, we carry Tempur-Pedic and Purple, but it doesn't mean we have to blab on about it. And, you know, we could brag about our Mayo Clinic body mapping technology that matches you with the perfect mattress, but that's not our style. And that's why Garrison Sleep doesn't name drop, even though we totally could. Garrisons.com.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Sorry, I'm licking my lips right now. Diner 62 delivered. Oh my gosh, it was just incredible. It is just an amazing breakfast. And of course, we got the Tatey's and the chicken fried steak and Aggies. So I'm going to be a happy guy a little bit later when I get off the air. It's in styrofoam, so it'll stay warm for the next few minutes. But we'll do a Diner 62 quiz in about 5 minutes. If you wanted to join in, 770-5633-770-KMED, and then you could be as satiated and satisfied as I will be, okay? All right, let me go to Brad. Hey, Brad, how you doing this morning? Welcome. What's up?
Bill, good morning to you. Well, you know, you and Richard are right on that wildfire, the impacts of the wildfire mapping and the comment period being open. You know, back when that was actually going through the legislature, you know, being pushed as hard as he could possibly push it by Senator Golden, we testified and got that thing shut down five times, and it was like one of the, you know, one of the evil bad guys in one of those movies. No matter how many bullets you put into him, he just kept coming back.
It's like the Terminator, right? You thought that like you had Terminator. Crushed the Terminator in the hydraulic press, and he's still alive.
Terminator. And we're asking ourselves, you know, we're asking ourselves, people on the development side, is like, why are they pushing this thing so hard? Why are they pushing it so hard? So the left is really good at labeling one thing one way, knowing that once they get the thing in, they're going to use it like a blunt instrument. So the policy side of this is that now that you've got this wild, you know, Senate Bill 762, you know, governor signed it's law, now they have something that they can use, and they are using it to make undeveloped land more expensive to own for the people, whether they put any houses on it or not, raising the cost of undeveloped land, which does what? Makes the land that is eligible for development more expensive, right? There's the more you make rural land more expensive, less developable, the more it raises the cost and the value of all the other land that's left. So it's increasing the cost of that land. So you got people at some point in time, as these expenses continue, you know, it's like they're gonna levy a fee on people that own rural land. They're going to say, okay, well, based on the type of mapping that overlays your land, we're going to, at the state level, we're going to charge you a fee per acre on this land that you own, because at some point in time, we may have to defend a wildfire on it. So we're going to charge you in advance for that, which that's a whole discussion on its own. But at some point, these people, no matter how much wealth they have, they're going to say, well, you know what? We're just going to sell this, or we're going to put it in a nature conservancy, or we're just not going to farm it anymore.
Yeah, ultimately, that's where they want to drive it. They want to drive people off
Correct.
Of it. They want to drive people
Correct.
Off it. Make no mistake about it, especially when you have the climate-friendly, equitable communities. And, well, I'll just give you the classic example of why they're going for Senate Bill 762. And I know that Senator Golden and Representative Pam Marsh may, you know, disagree with us on this. Is Jerry Varner wrote me, and he's a listener we know as Jerry the Bull, and he says, Bill, people have a degree of freedom in rural areas. They're easier to control in the city. That's ultimately, Correct. I think, what's driving the wildfire map program. It really is.
Well, it's a tool, right? So again, there's what it says it does, and then there's what it actually does once they get done with the rulemaking, and your listener. We're not going to impute some kind of evil, nefarious intentions. It's just policy stuff. But what he said is absolutely correct. If you have a rural distributed population, they are much harder to control than an urban densified population. That is a fact. That is an absolute fact.
And the policy coming out of the state of Oregon is that it wants densified easily controllable people. That's what they want.
Right. Well, and Bill, we've talked about this a little bit before. But, you know, you look at these so-called solar farms. If you have 20 acres or less, you don't even have to go to a land use hearing to convert all 20 acres of land into nothing but Chinese-made glass silicon panels. You know, but there's all kinds of these things going in across rural Oregon. And once these so-called solar farms go in, or all these silly windmills go in, that land is not going to be developed for anything other than that for decades. So what you see, you put all the pieces together, Bill, and you just see more and more and more rural land, huge chunks of rural land becoming unavailable, forcing more densification into the urban areas.
And so in order to defend your ability to live where you want to live in Oregon, you must fight this 762 map. You must battle it. It needs repeal, too. It needs to go. It needs to. In fact, state land use needs to go. But that's a bigger fight for another day. Okay.
But you and Richard are right. This is a big deal.
Yeah. Thank you very much there. I appreciate the call there, Brad. And by the way, I had other people that wrote me. Let's see. Brett says, "Hey, Bill, I was listening to the discussion about sending in our letter for opposition to the wildfire map. Embarrassed to say I missed it every time. So, okay, you're looking for that address. That address once again, and I'm going to put it up on KMED.com on my blog today when we mention it, but it is, word. Of course, now I've lost it. Okay. Hang on. You know, I just had it out there in front of me. I must have moved the email. Hang on just a minute, Brett. Let me take a quick break. We will get that, all right? I'll get that out for you again. And it's a pretty easy to remember email address that I just forgot. Oh, well, it's been a big morning, okay? A lot of stuff going on. Hey, appreciate you being here. Join in at 770-5633. Diner 62 Quiz is coming up next here in a matter of minutes, all right? Diner 62 Quiz, $20 gift certificate here from Diner 62. Great stuff going on there, as always. All I ask is that you have not won this in the last 60 days, okay? We'll do that. This portion of the program is also sponsored by Valley View Nursery. And we appreciate their sponsorship. Valley View Nursery is the only nursery around here in Southern Oregon with online pricing. You can just visit valleyviewnursery.com and you can check that all out. And Valley View Nursery is definitely closer than you think.
Spectrum delivers with fast and reliable internet. And with Spectrum One, you get even more. Spectrum internet, so you can work, game, and stream with speeds up to a gig. Plus advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and one Spectrum Mobile unlimited line, both free for 12 months. Internet, advanced Wi-Fi, and mobile. Get it all together with Spectrum One. Starting at just $49.99 a month. Visit Spectrum.com for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Restrictions apply.
Joel here from Butler Ford and Truck Center, and hey, I know I get excited in these ads and I start talking loud and fast, but hey, that's because I genuinely love Ford trucks and SUV. I own Fords. My family and friends drive Fords. I've been selling Fords at Butler for over 21 years to happy customers like you who've made Butler Ford the highest Google-rated Ford store in Oregon. So when I see a good deal on a Ford F-150 Super Duty or SUV, I get excited to tell you about it. And right now, I'm excited that you can pay only $399 a month to lease a Ford F-150 4x4. Pay $399 a month, drive it for 3 years, then come back and get a new one. I also want you to know that interest rates on the new Ford Escape are down to 2.9% for 75 months. 2.9 for 75 months? So yes, I get excited about saving our customers money on a new Ford. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes down the freeway in Ashland, off of exit 19, where we got your truck, your SUV, certified pre-owned, and your savings.
36-month lease to qualifying trading customers with $63.58 to assigning, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer doc fee on stock number 59693 and selling price of $52,905 after all rebates and discounts. 75 monthly payments of $14.59 per thousand finance. All financing on approved credit through Ford Credit. See dealer for more details.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
The following preview has been rated immature for all audiences except metal roof enthusiasts and small children. In the not-too-distant sun-baked future, in a world where leafy debris and pine needles collect on unsuspecting homeowners' roofs, where just one seemingly harmless airborne ember could cause a catastrophic fire, two unassuming technicians.
He's talking about us.
Embark on an epic journey to fabricate and install fire-resistant metal roofs on Southern Oregon buildings. Heroes will rise. Fire hazards will fall.
This is awesome.
This summer, call the Metal Roofing Division at Fontana Roofing and witness the sheer...
So what do you think?
So it's like we're superhero firefighters except without the supernatural powers, form-fitting costumes, and inherent danger?
Exactly.
Can we drive big, shiny red trucks?
Maybe in the sequel.
For an epic fire-resistant roof, call Fontana Roofing's Metal Roof Division. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Welcome to the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED. Give Bill a call at 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
The Diner 62 Quiz. Well, I got to tell you, all your hearty breakfast favorites, the omelets, the skillets, the waffles, the biscuits, the gravy, the chicken fried steak, which I got this morning, cinnamon roll, French toast, you name it, they got it. If you're hungry when you leave Diner 62, you have a hormonal problem. Check with your physician. All right, it's next to the Chevron station just south of White City on Highway 62. And they're open 6 to 3 Monday through Saturday, Sunday 7 to 2. And today, Clam Chowder Friday. Make sure and grab that. Grab a bowl to go. All right, let me go to Tom. Hello, Tom. How are you this morning?
Just fine, Bill. Thank you.
All right, Tom, let's see if we can make you a winner. It was tomorrow in history, August 17th, 1907. Pike Place Market opens in Seattle. Ever been to Pike Place Market? Ever been there?
No, I never have.
Beautiful place. Really interesting. And Seattle's Pike Place Market, one of the oldest continuously operating public farmers markets in the U.S., and they built it on the edge of a steep hill. The market has many levels of shops. It's kind of almost a catacombs in some places. But the top level is famous for fresh produce and the fishmongers who throw fish to each other in front of the visitors. You know, the tourists like that part about it. It gets about 10 million visitors a year. How many businesses are there in Pike Place Market? 100, 140, 180, 220, or 260 businesses? What do you think, Tom? Just taking a guess. I didn't know.
You know, it's a hard guess. It must be a pretty high number.
What are you thinking?
Several hundred.
Okay. Well, 100, 140, 180, 220, or 260? One of five.
How about 140?
140, a little bit more than 100. Not this time, though, Tom. Appreciate you trying. Let me go to Rory. Rory's up here next. Hey, Rory, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you.
All right, not 140, but we got some businesses there in Pike Place Market. 100, 180, 220, or 260? How many are there?
Been a long time since I've been there, but I'm going to go 220.
You're going to go with 220? Been a long time since you've been there, but you're right.
You're a winner!
Yeah. Considered by many the soul of Seattle, the market is on 9 acres in downtown Seattle. I don't know how many bumpsters are there right now. They've had a real problem there. But 220 independently owned shops and restaurants, 150 craftspeople, 70-plus farmers are there, 60 buskers, 450 residents in affordable subsidized housing, mostly seniors, probably replaced by bums. I keep saying bums. I'm sorry, I can't help it, but this is what's happening these days. But Pike's Place is named after Pike Street, which is one of the original name streets of Seattle in Arthur Denny's 1869 formation. So there we go. And you're going to Diner 62, Rory. Good job, all right? Be right with you.
All right, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yep, we'll have another one of these Diner 62 quizzes probably Tuesday of next week. Always fun.
Life's busy, and off is not an option. You need to be on the water, on the call, on the road. Life's waiting. Power on. With Batteries Plus. Visit one of over 700 locations today.
Every carpenter wants to teach his son how to do carpentry, but daughters can build things too. So when it comes to carpentry, tools, lumber, and building materials, remember that making the right choice is very important. And the right choice for lumber and other building materials is Hughes Lumber. At Hughes Lumber, they offer the best lumber at the best prices to all builders. Hughes Lumber, serving everyone on Crater Lake Highway.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precise and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease of quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today, get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your work truck and van headquarters. Proudly offering Adrian Steel interior shelving packages, partitions, and the best ladder racks in the business. Integrate a bed slide or decked drawer system to boost your efficiency. Also featuring the largest selection of commercial fiberglass and metal truck canopies from leading manufacturers such as ARE, SmartCap, Century, and more. Come see Oregon Truck and Auto Authority today and take your efficiency to the next level.
Joel here from Butler Ford and Truck Center, and hey, I know I get excited in these ads and I start talking loud and fast, but hey, that's because I genuinely love Ford trucks and SUV. I own Fords. My family and friends drive Fords. I've been selling Fords at Butler for over 21 years to happy customers like you who've made Butler Ford the highest Google-rated Ford store in Oregon. So when I see a good deal on a Ford F-150 Super Duty or SUV, I get excited to tell you about it. And right now, I'm excited that you can pay only $399 a month to lease a Ford F-150 4x4. Pay $399 a month, drive it for 3 years, then come back and get a new one. I also want you to know that interest rates on the new Ford Escape are down to 2.9% for 75 months. 2.9 for 75 months? So yes, I get excited about saving our customers money on a new Ford. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes down the freeway in Ashland, off of exit 19, where we got your truck, your SUV, certified pre-owned, and your savings.
36-month lease to qualifying trading customers with $63.58 to assign and excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer dock fee on stock number 596.93 and selling price of $52,905 after all rebates and discounts. 75-monthly payments of $14.59 per thousand finance. All financing on approved credit through Ford Credit. See dealer for more details.
Hi, I'm Deb with Father and Son Jewelry, and I'm on KMED.
858, this is KMED, KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. And I appreciate you listening this morning. There's been a lot of talk going on, and I had some folks call up. Even Todd was just on the phone. I was talking to him during the break here, and he says, well, Bill, what can we actually do? What should we put in these wildfire comments? And the point being, though, is that it's about showing the outrage and showing citizen opposition, because ultimately Senate Bill 762 is going to have to be destroyed. It's going to have to be destroyed legislatively. It would be hard to do it by a vote of the, citizen initiative, because it probably wouldn't be hitting until 2026. There's going to have to be so much pressure brought onto the state legislature. Yes, even with Democrat control, there just needs to be outrage here. You oppose this map. You do everything you can. You oppose it with every ounce of your being. You know, it got rolled back because of the outrage before. The outrage needs to double in intensity because, if anything, it's getting worse, okay? And the address, by the way, I'll repeat this, but I'm also going to put it on KMED.com on my and I'll also share this on social media just to make it easy if you're on Facebook, okay? It's hazardmap@... odf.oregon.gov. hazardmap@odf.oregon.gov. Okay? All right. And just email me, Bill at Bill Myers Show, if you had any questions, and we'll try to get it to you. And like I said, Sunday at 5 o'clock is the best time to do it. But definitely start it off with, I oppose this mapping system. I oppose this implementation of Senate Bill 762. And, I oppose this with white hot hatred of the state. It's kind of what I'd like to say, but you know how that goes. All right. I want to do some emails of the day. Emails of the day are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry. Great people. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. And if you need some specialized dental treatment and mouthwashes and water picks, things like that, they have a kiosk there. And it's next to Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant. They'll sell it to you at their cost. They're not making profit on it. They just want to make sure you get access to the good stuff along with great dental care, all right? And that's CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. And we're going to give an email of the day to Patrick Green, who is the incoming district attorney. We were wondering why these foreign nationals got cut loose. And Sheriff Nate Sickler told me that he suspected it was Senate Bill 48. Well, this is the deal from the district attorney, incoming district attorney. I was listening to a recording of your show and realized you sent this email to my campaign email, so I had a feeling that was going to be the problem. But I can confirm the district attorney's office was not consulted about this travel permit for these two individuals. A judge granted that without seeking our input. I have checked with all our prosecutors and none were contacted. We would have objected had we been consulted. I'm going to work to change this process in the future to ensure that our court gets our position before granting a travel permit in this situation. I could also tell you that these individuals were released before we could even file the charges pursuant to Senate Bill 48. By the way, the dun-dun-dun was my editorial comment on this, okay? But Senate Bill 48, which was a bail reform law that came into effect in 2022 that requires release for certain crimes and does not allow the suspect to stay in custody any longer than it takes to process them, unless certain exceptions apply, none of which appears to have applied in this case. However, again, that is something that the jail decides based upon the information that law enforcement provides them with at that time of lodging, and we are not consulted. Please let me know if you have any further questions. I apologize for not realizing you emailed me, and I listened to your show from yesterday on the way to the work this morning. Patrick, I appreciate you checking in, and we appreciate the response on that. And the longer the day went on, the sheriff thought it was Senate Bill 48. You have confirmed that it is Senate Bill 48. And Senate Bill 48, yet another bit of an example in which the state of Oregon, under the guise of doing something right, has managed to screw it up further. Okay, so my email, bill@billmeyershow.com. Have a great day in spite of the insanity around us. Try to keep a cool head and watch the storms. We'll talk again Monday morning. See you then.
Have you ever disliked someone so much you didn't even want to look at them? Well, when that someone is you and you're avoiding the mirror,